Victory in Grace proudly presents the following message in the Proverbs series by Dr. James A. Scudder, founder and senior pastor of the Quinton Road Bible Baptist Church.
So tonight we're going to talk about a very exciting subject of how to live longer. And this really is a truthful thing in Scripture. And it does tell you how you can live longer. You know, and you say, well, I don't want to live longer. Well, you should want to live longer, because we need to want to serve the Lord. You know, point one is real common sense. You know, you've heard me say through the years that common sense isn't very common. But for a Christian, we ought to have more common sense than the world has. You know, they use the word now streetwise, but that's not really common sense. Streetwise may mean that you know more about the world's ways, but that's still not what we're talking about tonight. You know, we need to understand God's principles. And until we understand God's principles, we're never going to totally understand and trust God. In Proverbs 3, as we've been going through verse by verse, and we're going to be with verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. The word happy is eshor, and you've heard me tell this one before, but I grew up in the same town as Happy Chandler, and he was the baseball commissioner, and he twice was elected governor of the state of Kentucky. And so he always had a real big smile on his face, and they call him Happy Chandler. And whenever he'd come to town, whatever town my dad moved to, he'd always have my dad open in prayer for him. And he was a Democrat, but I was a loyal Happy Chandler supporter because I knew him. And I loved him. And I remember when he ran for governor for the third time and was beaten, I'll never forget. I was so sick. I remember being by a beach on Kentucky Lake, and I remember almost vomiting. I just took it very difficult, very tough. And then, of course, he would always have the smile. So when I see the word happy, that's what I think of. But this word, and I don't want to get into the masculine too much, but the construction is such that when you see the word happy, it means like how happy. It means like really happy. Happy is the man, really happy. He's blessed happy. He's not just happy, he's blessed happy. The man that findeth wisdom. And that word findeth, it means to reach, to stretch for it, to try to get it, seek it, or draw out wisdom, to draw it. And you want wisdom as much as you can get. You want to have wisdom. How many? Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And we've got to understand this. There will never be happiness until you really have wisdom. You know, I find that the people that take their Bibles and they put little notes in their Bibles, or they put notes on their verse sheets. I had someone the other day, and someone was going through a turmoil, and at work they took out a verse sheet and they copied the verse sheet from work and they sent it to somebody, and it was a real blessing to them. And the people that take notes, the people that try to remember, the people that feel like they know something about their Bible, the people that can go back and look at something, they're the happiest ones. They're the happiest ones. You got to seek for it. Reach out for it. Wisdom is one of the most precious things, if not the most precious thing on earth, way better than all the jewels that you'll ever find, all the earthly treasures. It's just way better as you see all these things. True wisdom is so much better than earthly jewels. And then we must make wisdom our business. What is your business? Well, some of you will say, well, my business, I want to be a soul winner. Well, that's certainly what our business ought to be. But you won't do that unless you make wisdom your business first. Those of you that answer the phones at Victory and Grace, you're going to get a much quicker understanding of this wisdom, because you're going to be asked questions and you're going to have it cemented into your mind. I have this last summer when we got back from India, we spent a couple days in England and we went to see at the Tower of London. And I certainly recommend any of you that ever go to London to go to the Tower of London. It's very expensive, but it's certainly worth it. And when you go there, go to, I think they call them, is it Beef Eaters? Is that what they call the guys? That's a weird thing. Beef Eater. Man, it sounds... And they're mean and they're tough looking. And they look like beef eaters, you know. But you get one of those, okay? Don't go by yourself. I know you're cheap and I know everything else, but have a beef eater. Once you pay to get in there, it's free. Then they take you to the Royal Jewels. And the biggest diamond in the world and the next biggest diamond in the world is right there. And you get to walk in there and see the biggest diamond and the next biggest diamond. So I get through it and I walk through. I said, Linda, where was the biggest diamond and the next big? She said, she wanted to say dummy, but she didn't. She said, you walked right by him. Really? I said, the biggest and the next biggest and I didn't notice? She said, well, you've never noticed anything. Why would you start now? I said, well, if you walked out with the biggest diamond in the world, I probably would notice. Because I'd wonder who paid for it. I hope I didn't. So I went back. I went all the way back and I saw it. It's not that impressive to me. You say, why not? Because, I guess because I know they can manufacture diamonds today that even jewelers can't tell the difference. Now let me tell you guys, get married, just get a fake one. No one, it doesn't matter. You know why women think a diamond is a girl's best friend? Because after World War II, that's when they started saying that. And if you can have a diamond that even a jeweler can't tell, it's silly, isn't it? Am I running? Are some of you women getting mad? Because I'm going against what you've been taught by the advertising people. Right? I'm talking about wisdom tonight. Man, get wisdom. If no one can tell the difference, why should you tell them? They can't. The jeweler can't tell the difference. They have all kinds of names for these fake diamonds, but even a jeweler can't tell the difference. Wow. But I want the real thing. Well, if you can't tell the difference, if anybody ever mixed it up, you'd never know it anyway, would they? Well, I know in my heart. Oh, get over it. Get over it. Oh, man. If the jeweler can't tell the difference, don't worry about it. They'll never find out anyway. Some of you men are saying, why didn't you preach this 2 weeks earlier? We must make wisdom our business. I gave you some wisdom tonight, didn't I? You girls wouldn't care, would you? It's not the diamond, it's the man, right? Well, some of these men, no, it's the diamond. Yeah, I understand. There's so many new babies in our church. One of them put up a sign already. This baby's less than 2 months old, and she put up a sign in her bathtub. She says, do not throw baby out with the bathwater. It's a nice sign, wasn't it? That's wisdom. You know, we have that expression, don't we? Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I heard someone the other day quote that as a Bible verse. Don't throw baby out with the bathwater. That's an interesting one. Jesus said that what we keep, we lose, and what we lose, we keep. We know that. We hear that expression. We know that you can't take it with you. But we still have to put it in practice, don't we? Don't we? What we keep, we lose, and what we lose, we keep. That's what the Christian life really is. That's real wisdom. How to live longer. In Scripture, there is a clear distinction drawn between intelligence and wisdom. One may have great intellect and not have wisdom. You know, when I hear people criticize our president and say that he's not an intellectual, he's probably the greatest intellect that we've ever had in the Oval Office. He really is. He's an intellect. But he'll never get credit for being an intellect. But he also has wisdom because every morning he gets up and reads his Bible and prays. Before he does anything else, he reads his Bible and he prays. Now, he's not perfect, and he doesn't do everything I wish he'd do, and he does some things I wish he wouldn't do. But I still believe that he's got wisdom and he's an intellect. And we could be very proud, and we could learn a lot from him, couldn't we? But when a person makes wrong moral choices, in the biblical term, they're fools. In the biblical term, they're fools. When we don't know the moral choices, the right choices, you know, we have people here, and not very many, but a few, that can't control their credit card. You know, they say you ought to put your credit card in water and freeze it so it would take you a long time to get it unthawed so you could get to it. Well, there's some truth to that. Some of you can't control a credit card. And I'd get rid of it. If I couldn't control them, I'd get rid of them. Now, I think you should have a credit card because I think it's good insurance. But I tell you this, if you can't control it, I'd get rid of it. If you have a credit card and you can't control it, you're a fool. If you live without a budget and you don't have a budget, you're a fool. Why? Because you're not making sense of what God has given you. You're not using common sense. So we have to be very careful. While on the other hand, he that is at peace has tremendous grace in their life. We need peace. The really godly person, they have the impressions of the real realities of life more than anybody else on the earth has. We have confidence in God's all-knowingness. We have confidence in when whatever happens that God is still on the throne. We have confidence that God is in charge. And a wise man, a wise lady, they have confidence in all these things. The hope of heaven. Hope is often spoken of as the one great blessing of man which survived the fall. You know, we lost so much at the fall in the Garden of Eden, even though so many of our world today doesn't believe in creation. They believe that we all evolved, and they have no idea of where the first matter came from. They have no idea. But anyone will tell you, and there's no scientist that won't tell you, that if there was ever nothing, there can be nothing. And they will all have to agree with that, so that matter has to always have been, but it couldn't always have been unless it was created. We live in a world. But since the fall, the one thing that we can take with us is hope. And when you're going through trials, if you can learn to have this hope, and you can go through the worst trial that you could ever imagine, but you have this hope, you have wisdom. You have wisdom. You know, I saw someone had a bag of corn chips, and they showed this to me. And it said, free price, no purchase necessary. Find out inside. That really was on a bag. I'm not going to say the company name. I was going to, but I decided not to. Man. So we have this greatest blessing that we can take with us. How do we live longer? Well, in the end, I want to share with that tonight. So I want you to keep your mind open on how do we live longer. You know, a Christian should be distinguished from all other people by contentment and peace in their life. Contentment or peace. Now, some of you will go out Monday morning, and the first thing that happens, you're going to be honking your horn, you're going to be upset, and you're going to be causing a ruckus. You're going to go to work, you're going to get mad, you're going to shout, you're going to scream, and everyone's going to say, that person, that woman, that man claims that they're a Christian, and they act as bad as everybody else here. Sometimes worse. So we ought to be set aside. You know, the most beautiful landscape, the most beautiful things that you'll ever see, if you don't observe them, they mean nothing. They mean nothing. You know, I don't care where you are. There's some people that never see anything. They never see any beauty. They never see anything that's a pleasure. They don't ever look at the birds. You know, my wife and I were out on a bicycle, I don't know, a couple days ago. And we both stopped, and there was a little fawn right there by us. And then about 10 feet was the mama deer, and they were both just ignoring us. The mama deer wasn't concerned, the fawn wasn't concerned, and we were able to sit there and watch those two deer. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never gotten over the thrill of seeing a deer. And I don't care if I see 100 of them a night. Whenever I see a deer, my heart kind of pumps a little faster. And when I see them run, I see them glide, I say, boy, there can't be anything but a God that could make something like that. And then we came upon a fawn that had been eaten by wolves. And you start thinking about the anti-hunters. Would you think it's better for a deer to die with a gunshot or with a wolf? What's your thought? Well, a wolf is a horrible, horrible death. You say, why is that? Well, see, until we get into the millennium, that's why this life's going to be. Do you ever let your imagination run a little bit and realize that everything we have on this earth compared to what we're going to have in heaven is going to be nothing? See, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. You know, God will bless us down here on this earth, and He'll bless us beyond anything we could ever desire, that we should ever have, ever want. He'll bless us. God doesn't just give us blessings. He gives us abundant blessings. But we have to take those blessings and always shower them on others. No matter what He gives us, we need to always want to know what we can do to give to somebody else. Point two, nothing better. Nothing better. Let's look at Proverbs 3:14. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. The merchandise of what? The merchandise of wisdom. The merchandise of God's understanding. The profit shall be yours. Who can doubt the advantages of the profit that you get from real wisdom than the profit that you get from the world? No matter who you are, I remember watching a house program, and this woman built this huge home in Barbados. I mean, it was incredible. It had all the marble. It had everything you could imagine. It was right on the ocean. I don't know if I've ever seen a prettier house in my whole life. I think it cost maybe $12 million. It was just beautiful. And when she went in, she said, this is everything that I've ever wanted. And then they go back and they show you the people 5 months later, 6 months later, 3 months later. They went back to her in 6 months. And she had the house up for sale because she didn't like it. See, this world cannot satisfy. It's an impossibility for this world to satisfy. Can't do it. But the profit that we get from real wisdom, it does satisfy. And it satisfies for eternity. Not just for now, but for eternity. This wisdom gives us a richer and surer market than any port of time. See, the treasure that we get from God cannot be taken away. It can't be taken away. The treasure we get from God cannot be taken away. It's literally impossible to do. The true merchant is a person that has strong faith, and they regard temporal things less than things that are eternal. They walk by faith. Speaking of walking, there were three girls, and They were over in Egypt, and they were at one of the big pyramids. And they said, if you can get to the top of the Great Pyramid, and you can get up there without laughing, you can wish anything you want, and you will get whatever you want. But the only thing is, you have to get all the way to the top of the pyramid without laughing. And there's a brunette, a redhead, and a blonde. Well, the brunette started off, and after this, every five steps, someone would tell a joke. She laughed at step 15. And the redhead did the same, and she got up to step 25. The blonde got all the way to the top, got almost stepping onto the final step, and started burst out in laughter. They said, why in the world did you burst out? You were almost to the top, and we hadn't even told you the last joke. And she said, I just got the one on the fifth step. Well, the inspired penman, all the things of the human heart cannot desire be compared to what this is, this wisdom. Now, this isn't just a testimony of some poor, unsuccessful man. This is a testimony of Solomon. Solomon, the world's richest man. People that mean to do right and do wrong because they cannot clearly see the line by which right and wrong are separated. That's why we need to have wisdom. That's why wisdom means so much to us. So now I want you to look at point three, richer than the rich. And this is where we're going to learn how we live longer. How do you live longer? Proverbs 3:15-16. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. More precious than rubies. Now, I don't know about you, but I personally, as my personal preference, I like rubies better than anything else, any of the precious stones. I just like rubies. Don't ask me why. But if I see a nice ruby, I many times will get it for my wife because I love rubies. I really do. This says way more precious than rubies. Isn't it amazing that the Bible never says anything more precious than diamonds? Because you can't duplicate a ruby. I just threw that out for free. The word precious is yakar. And it means valuable, it means brightness, it means excellent, costly, it means honorable. That's where we get the word precious. And we'll have length of days. That word length is orich, and it means stretched, longer. And it could even mean forever. Could even mean forever. That's what we're going to have. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou can desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Do you ever seek for wisdom? Do you ever ask for wisdom? Do you ever ask God to give you wisdom? Do you, besides wisdom, do you always seek counsel before you make a choice? Or do you just do things? A lady walked into the drugstore and she said, I'd like to weigh the baby I have with me on your baby scale. And they said, well, honestly, our baby scale is out for repair, but if you, the mother, and the baby get on, we'll weigh you both, and then you leave the baby and you get back on, and we'll tell you what the baby weighs. She said, that can't work. It's impossible. You can't do it that way. She said, why? Because I'm not the mother. I'm the aunt. Glad y'all got that one. Wisdom personifies as bringing the best blessings. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. You know, when we came and I was going to be a preacher, and I told my brother-in-law that I was going to be a preacher, and he said, you're a fool, and he said, you'll never own a house, you'll never have anything. and you'll go to Chicago and you'll be broke. Well, we didn't come here to own a house. We didn't come here to have anything. But God has given us more than we could ever imagine or ever think. But that's not what our purpose was. We sought the kingdom of heaven first, and all the other things were added. Why do you think it says in 1 Timothy 4:8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't exercise, but it profiteth little. Why does it profit little? Because the most exercised person in the world could probably just say they've got a little bit better life. But it's not going to give you longer days, I don't believe. I believe wisdom's going to give you longer days. Why do you think our society has such an emphasis on exercise today? You know, they have ads upon ads upon ads about exercise, and they have all this equipment that if you get it, they guarantee you without any questions asked, they'll give your money back if you don't look like Mr. America or Miss. Boy, I tell you what, those women bodybuilders, oh my goodness. We had one of them in Florida, and I said, "Linda, what is that?" She said, "That's a bodybuilder woman." I said, "Oh my goodness." I wanted to get up and say something to her, but I decided she might be tougher than me, so I decided it wasn't worth it. I mean, she looked like a man that just stuck a woman's head on her. Did they do head transplants, Doc? Did they do that? Man, that woman. Oh! I mean, arms like that. Whew. I said, "You think she's married, Linda?" And said, "Well, she don't have any rings on." I said, "Well, they couldn't get on her fingers. They'd all pop." Man, I wanted to quote 1 Timothy 4:8. But why is there so much of this? Because they want to live longer. Friends, let me just say this. A lot of people are living to be 100. And that's true. A lot more people are living to be 100. Now, I don't mean this degrading anybody, but have you seen any of those people who live to be 100? Have you? I think you have. Now, it's wonderful. I mean, I would be so honored to have a centurion in our church. I really would. I really would. Well, what we need in life is a pursuit of wisdom. But the person that serves God with simplicity always is going to tend toward longevity. Now, does that mean every Christian is going to live long? No, it doesn't. But those that follow Christian principles will live a lot longer than those that follow the principles of the world as a whole. There's exceptions always. But those that live with Christian principles are going to live longer than those that don't. And that's a fact. And I doubt that anybody would honestly ever try to deny that. See, not all people learn in this wisdom school. Wisdom is a skill. It's enlightenment of the soul with respect to God and His Word. How to live longer. It includes insight. It includes judgment. The highest qualities of the soul. It has richness of the inner life. And that's what helps you. When you're depressed, I heard a commercial the other day, and they said depression does not come from the mind, depression comes from the body. That's not true, friends. Depression comes from your mind. And when you're depressed, it does suppress all the things of your body. And when a person's following the things of the world, see, the world can't satisfy. And no matter what they get to, they're never satisfied. They're always miserable. They never are happy. In every period of life, nothing is more pleasing than employments of the human mind to get wisdom. Proverbs 3:19, "The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, and by understanding has established the heavens." You know, when Einstein said energy and mass are interchangeable, this is what this says right here. "The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth." Do you know that even if we could travel the speed of light, we would travel so slow we could not get around the universe? How many of you want to go billions of light years to get somewhere? You know what's quicker than the speed of light? The speed of thought. Think it and you're there. That's what we're going to have. And we're going to be able to travel the universe by the speed of thought. You know how sometimes you got to think quick? There was a man standing with another man, and he says, "Who's that ugly woman over there?" "Sir, that's my wife." And he thought real quickly and says, "Oh, I didn't mean her, sir. I meant the one next to her. That's my daughter." The guy wasn't having a good day. Sometimes you get yourself in trouble, don't you? Knowledge is at best only a means to an end. Observe the complete change which produces the human character. That's what we call wisdom. That's what you call wisdom. Now, that lady in Barbados, this is the house of my dreams. I love this house. I spent millions of dollars for this house. It's the perfect house. And then a few months later, she wants to sell it. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is consistency in virtue. In circumstances, always consistency. And it will always enhance the value of your life. That's what wisdom is. Godliness is a help to longevity. Good men, good women, good children will always live longer than bad men and bad women and bad children. Wickedness acts as a shortener of life. Wisdom's gift is riches, but without getting it through wisdom, there's abuses of wealth. You know, God's gifts are generous. He blesses us beyond anything we could ever imagine. You just think about where this church was just even 20 years ago. When we struggled just to get that first little building up over there in this property. You just think about that. You think about where this church was, where it is today. You think about all the blessings that God has given. He not only constantly cares for us, but He's generous in His blessings that He gives us. And when He gives us, we really do have to think, how are we going to give to others? How are we going to give to others? What are we going to do to help others? And when God blesses, what are you going to do to bless others? And that's what God will do in His life. God's gifts are generous beyond any imagination that we could ever have. He blesses us with gifts. He blesses us with talents. He gives and He gives and He gives and He gives. And He says, "I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you that." Those of you that have ever learned the blessings of giving, you will learn that you will get the blessing of getting. You'll learn that. And you'll see what that'll mean in your life. To the extent to which we genuinely thank God for His blessings, where we're genuinely thankful when we don't have things go the way we want them to. When we get to that point and you're a genuinely thankful person, you know, whenever, and Mary Smith's not here tonight because she can't come out at night, and God bless her soul. Someone says, "Mary had a really hard week. She's sick a little bit and all this." And I'll go up to her every Sunday morning and I say, "Mary," I said, "how are you?" "Oh, Pastor, I couldn't be better. The Lord is just so good to me." She said, "I fell, but the Lord put a cushion under me so I didn't get hurt. Isn't He good?" Wow, what a spirit. Don't you wish everybody had that type of spirit? "I fell, but the Lord put a cushion under me." And she lives her life serving others. When any of you get sick, Mary Smith will send you a letter, won't she? She always cares about others. We are either going to trust ourselves or trust our blessings, or we're going to trust God. And too many people trust their blessings and they trust themselves and they don't put their trust in God. Test God's promises. You know, my wife and I were praying after y'all did so much for me on Wednesday night. And I said, Lord, bless all those people and bless them financially and bless them spiritually and bless them for all that they did. We need to test God. We need to prove God. Sometimes you say, well, I just don't believe that, you know, I hear people say, I just can't afford to tithe. Friends, if you understood it, you can't afford not to tithe. You don't get it. You just don't get it. Oh, he's talking about, no, I'm not trying to talk about it. I don't have to worry about money. God's going to take care of the money. It's your blessings that you're not going to get. The more we give, the more God gives back. This Grace Conference, it cost us a lot of money. But God will give it back. He'll give it back. And if we can ever learn to trust Him and to see what He does with His promises, what an incredible blessing that is. So I want to leave you with the fact, if you want a longer life, you learn to get wisdom. You do everything by wisdom. I see some of our young couples, and they have a budget. And they do this, and they do that, and they do this. And they don't spend what they don't have. And I see God blessing them and blessing them and blessing them and blessing them and blessing them. Then I see another couple, and they don't have a budget. They don't even really tithe. They don't really do anything. They don't know where they're at. And they're miserable, and they're always in trouble. They always need someone to bail them out, and they're not happy. They don't have wisdom. You say, but it can't be that much fun. Oh, why can't it? You say, well, I have a budget. It can be fun to have a budget. It can be fun to know where you're at and to know you've got enough and to not spend what you don't have. I had a couple about 3 months ago, and I'm not going to say who they are, but they came in and they had $30,000 on their credit cards. Now, I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but that's pretty stupid. That's not wisdom. Well, we don't have it, and I got to have it, so we buy it. You don't have to have, if you don't have it, that's when you need to have God pray and give it to you. Did you know that? You remember we tell the Ed Sutton story about how he wouldn't even have a billfold and he just stuffed his money. I'd follow him around. That's how I got through college. Anyway, nothing counts except what we do for Christ. And, you know, I want to share this with you, this billfold. And it represents sin. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin to go to heaven. You got to be sinless. Is there anybody in this room that's sinless? Of course not. But to go to heaven, you got to be sinless. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see that? He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. Greatest news in all the world. Look over at my right, your left, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Isn't that great news? It's a gift. How do you get a gift? You just receive it. He died on that cross and shed His precious blood, and we put our trust in Him. Isn't that great news?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Dr. Scott. For more information about our ministry or to order additional resources, please visit our website, www.victoryingrace.org, or call 1-800-78-GRACE.